Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, join us for sketches, stories, and songs about planet Earth with sketch comedy group Robot Teammate and singer Mishkin.
It's not bad, but I feel like you could do it better. Maybe like one of those Discovery Channel space documentaries. Just imagine that you're, I don't know, William Shatner or Morgan Freeman, and I've just forked over $500,000 for you to show up at the last minute into the studio and read some stuff in a commanding way.
I'm getting paid?
No, of course not. This is public radio. All right, so commanding voice, but have no idea what any of the words you're saying mean. Okay, go.
Okay. The celestial arrow of time, being measured in entropy, brings us three planets out from a bright star known as the Sun.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Known to the psychotic apes below as the planet Earth.
And bring it home.
This week on American Parlor Discovery Time Science Hour.
Perfect.
From the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston!
Thank you, folks. And on the other microphone, she's down to earth, but not as low as me. Julie Van Dusen. Earth, the planet, forged in the fire of gravity and time, like Joe Biden's face, dangling out there a few balls from the sun, with only the moon to keep it company. Well, the moon and 6 billion crazed talking monkeys. The Earth doesn't know from all that drama, though, no. Not unless you count the poison in the water, ozone in the sky, fossil fuels, hurricanes, forest fires, floods, and fracking earthquakes. Maybe we are giving it a little cause for concern. But it'll outlive us, though. I mean, until we invent the death ray. It'll outlive us, though. And then it'll go back to that peaceful blue globe out there in the stars, slowly making its way around that yellow sun. Hanging around on a string, you turn and spin over an ocean of starlight skies. You're in peaceful afar with the moon on your side, all alone, my blue home. The Earth was formed about 4.5 billion years ago, shortly after the birth of Betty White. If my junior high school science teacher was correct, it was made when a bunch of kids stood around holding a piece of spandex, put pool balls on it. Something about mass bending the fabric of the universe. Thusly, I suspect Chris Christie's bike shorts could spring a moon at any minute. There's a couple of ways that one works, I'll let you pick. Anywho, the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, 24,000 miles around, and weighs 1,000 trillion metric tons. Heavy, literally and existentially.
Hanging around on a string, you turn and spin over an ocean of starlight skies. You're in peaceful afar with the moon on your side, all alone, my blue home.
At first, it was too hot for anything to do much other than smolder. Lava and ash. Carbon monoxide, like, everywhere. Eventually, well, it got more hospitable, and perhaps, via asteroid delivery or some other fusion of nature, little things alive on its surface. Microbes. Photosynthesis. And I don't mean Instagram filters. I'm talking about plants, man. Tiny bugs with a few brain cells to rub together and then crawling out of the water like Phoebe Cates. Mammals, apes, people, everywhere people, before you know it, Walmart. Train tracks, highways, parking lots, skyscrapers, tract houses, McMansions, aqueducts, sewers, condensation trails, and billboards. Things all over the face of it, like a teenager after a McDonald's binge.
Hanging around on a string, you turn and spin. Over an ocean of starlight, skies you're in. Peaceful afar, with the moon on your side, all alone. My blue home.
We didn't cover it all yet. There's still lots of green and blue and beautiful. And not all the stuff we built is all that bad either. Some of it is downright spectacular. Chapels and bridges, great walls and windmills. We decorated the place up pretty good, all things considered. Sure, there's a few Italian ladies with plastic on the sofa. Still, Grandma. Some dudes with bikini calendars on mucky garage walls, yeah, but overall, we did pretty good in terms of neat things to look at in this world. By plane, train, or Hyperloop. I threw that last one into Panda for a Tesla underwriting contract. You can't blame a hack for trying.
Sail your blues to marvel your sight. To roam sky to sky, my blue home.
We thought it was the only one of its kind for a long time. Then we had eyes big enough. Turns out they're everywhere, and probably teeming with life. Juicy globes all over the place, like blueberries ripe for the picking, but just out of reach. If only we could get there fast enough. Yep. We're stuck with this one for now, until that Hyperloop underwriting contract comes through anyway. We better be cool about it, you know, not to keep it safe, but to keep it safe for us. I mean, look at it. Out the window over the lake there, or all the way out from space. It's everything we ever did so far, from your kid's second birthday party to Beethoven's fifth, all of it, right there on that beautiful hunk of life out there in the lonely, dark universe. So we're going to live on it this week, see if we can't figure out what makes it turn. Stick around, and around, and around, and around.
Hanging around on a string, you turn and spin. Over an ocean of starlight, skies your. Peaceful afar, with the moon on your side, all alone. My blue home.
And as always, if you're offended by something you hear on the program this week, I don't know, maybe you're a climate change denier or heck, maybe you're another planet and you don't like all this Earth-centric bragging. Let's be realistic, Mercury. You're tiny and puny. But anyway, if we do get under your skin and you'd like to complain, you can write me directly on Twitter at TheJPHouston and you'll be promptly ignored. We're always happy when our musical guest joins us on the program from Joshua Tree, California. Ladies and gentlemen, Mishkin.
This little song called Birds on the Line, it's kind of about the roots of power. Who used the first weapon? Forces can do well by him. Every people has his tale, all written in the victor's ink. And who made the first law? Say where you and I can walk. Commons killed by deeds and rents. Little kingdoms killing our common sense. Birds on the line. Birds on the line. But you can't be worried all the time. Same old story with a new disguise. Birds on the line. words on the line. Keep two step forward, keep one behind. We got a sweeter rhythm and a sharper rhyme. Crowns and candlestick gave way to steel and brick and the cotton kings. And railroad princes remade the world in their image. Come on, take my hand, we'll shuffle out of that quicksand. We'll make our freedom where we can. Scrub a little patches in no man's land. On birds on the line, birds on the line. But you can't be worried all the time. Same old story with a new disguise. Birds on the line, birds on the line. Keep two step forward, keep one behind. We got a sweeter rhythm and a sharper rhyme. I can feel the wind push up the valley for it hits. And all I've learned from my history is you keep what works, you make it fit. But it's real, we all are touching seeds caught on a string. And that's not just us, that's everyone. Not just everyone, but thing on the line, on the line. But you can't be worried all the time. Same old story with a new disguise. On the line, on the line. Keep two step forward, keep one behind. One behind. We got a sweeter rhythm and a sharper. We got a sweeter rhythm and a sharper. We got a sweeter rhythm and a sharper rhyme. Do da 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 da.
Thanks, y'all.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. From a van moving west on I-40, this is InfoStorm with your host, Aaron White. Good MAGA Patriots. Welcome to the bunker van. I'm Aaron White. Now, go out to your shed, take out a pair of nice shears, sharpen them up, and get ready to be shorn. I'm about to make a new sweater for you out of your own wool, sheeple. Leave you naked, finally free from the complex prison that is this entire planet. It's a doozy this week, and it's going to take a lot of raw fossil fuel to power the truth. So, head on over to our web store and pick up a pair of carbon booties. Yes, you can now show Mother Nature who's boss with real gasoline-powered carbon footprints. Pull the ripcord on those suckers and take a nice stroll right across the flat Earth's stupid face. Feel great and look great as the New York leftist elite shed juicy liberal tears down their gender-neutral faces. Yes, you'll burn through a gallon a minute and show those climate change Nazis who's boss carbon boots in our web store now. Get ready, knuckleheads. It's about to get real. Now go outside, take off your socks, because what our next guest is about to tell you is going to knock your socks off and blow the roof off the place. Gentlemen and Roseanne, please welcome to the bunker, for the first time, pro-climate change activist, the anti-Greta, Purdy Gertie Goebbels. Gertie, welcome to the bunker.
It is my pleasure to be here.
All the way from Germany?
Yes, I fly here on 3 private jets.
Oh, for maximum burnage.
With 700 pounds of superfluous luggage.
Oh, gifts of frack oil for those goons at the UN Climate Change Forum.
Und Schnitzel of baby seal.
Delicious.
It was a bumpy flight.
Oh, turbulence?
Hail.
Oh, icy balls of frozen rain.
Herr pilot had to swerve this way und that. Zig und zag. Zig und zag.
So you're saying that the pilot had to zig hail?
Yeah.
Giant balls of ice once again. Proving the fallacy of climate change. Global warming, sure.
If it is getting so warm, why do I need the big fur boots, eh?
Oh, exactly.
I couldn't just sit back and watch this Danish monster.
Greta?
Yeah, Greta. Greta getting all the attention, spreading these lies. So I was inspired to stand up and do was is Reich.
Right.
Sure, why not?
A brave teenager standing up for what she believes in.
I was, until recently, a teenager, yeah.
Well, happy 20th birthday then, I suppose.
Ich bin 42.
And only 4'6".
I grew up next to a smokestack, but this is just a coinkydink.
Of course, a coinkydink. The liberal lamestream media will no doubt blow way out of proportion.
And I am willing to spend every penny being funneled to me on disproving this whole shebang.
Because climate change is, of course, a hoax cooked up by Al Gore to sell carbon credits, whatever the hell they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And what better way to spread the word than on the radio from a moving vehicle in the midst of a tornado slash hurricane slash earthquake forest fire flood.
All of which were caused by illegal immigration and Bernie Sanders.
His old-timey accent and socialist ideas summoning the bad weather, of course.
Precisely.
The wise, wise words from the mouth of a child-looking German lady. Inspiring, a true messenger of Christian values, using only her thoughts and words to move the entire world.
Yeah, and waiting for Greta to accept my challenge to a cage match.
Oh, you heard it here first, people. The cage match. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more garbage. I think it's about time for another song from Mishkin.
The cure, what ails, what sore, blue.
feathers, golden beak, what more could a bluebird?
Coal and fire, unfiltered waterfront smokestacks, hooting sooty rings over mountains of CFC landfill cartons, yacht-long station wagons burping loud muffler gas, stinking through the neighborhood. The 1980s ex-hippie cum-yuppie traded his free love for guilt and then invented a day to clean it all up. You know, I did look like the sort of jerk who might be into that kind of thing. Shaggy dog hair, bloodshot eyes, messy t-shirt, spaced-out stare. I wasn't an 11-year-old stoner. I just stayed up too late, and, well, my mom was too busy to cut my hair. From first through fifth, it didn't play very well. But, well, by the sixth grade, with goofy preteenhood just around the corner, you could play it off as edgy. The folky middle-aged teachers had entered in the 70s with a tie-dyed bang, and they were planning to wind down the 1980s in a Cosby sweater whimper. I suppose if your revolution fails, torturing us children with assignments about acid rain was a pretty good guilt pacifier. Carefully invest in your stock market retirement plan during the week and then save the whales on the weekend. Then try and bring it all together in April on Earth Day. And the Earth rolled its eyes. The harsh Canadian cold didn't let up easy. Well, they called it spring, but well, that's just what you did from the car to the house. Now, on a bad year, you'd be waddling well into April in your snow pants. My old man wasn't an environmentalist, but he was stingy, always in a never-ending battle to keep that thermostat as close to freezing as possible. Soon as the coast was clear, I'd snake my hand back behind that brown pressboard bookshelf and slide the needle all the way up. Come on, a few lousy degrees isn't going to hurt the whales, right? Besides, there's a fresh and clean nuclear power plant just down the coast a few miles. It's perfectly safe, Chernobyl. Nuclear, it's even got the word clear right in the word there, so. The last bearded savior, keeping the dream alive, crashing against the waves, dealing damaging blows to those big whaling ships. A medium save the whale sign hung on the side of the ship there. And then back on land, battling the conservatives on the TV crossfire. One side with their head in the clouds, and the other with its head in the sand. There were cracks starting to show in the square era. There was an environment now. Those bearded champions were going to save the whole damn thing. And then there she was, little Karina Kay, walking into the class. Oh, I'd think to myself, look at those curves she might have in a few years. My voice might be broken by then, and, well, if I play my cards right, well, we're practically together already. You know, might as well slide in early with a pre-hormonal friendship, right? You know, lay the groundwork a bit. So I asked her, would you like to get McDonald's with me at lunch? Her eyes turned cold. She squinched up her already turned-up nose a few extra notches and said, you shouldn't go there. I said, because, of course, because they, wait, what do they do now? CFC cartons are destroying the world. Oh, yeah. CBCs. I know that. I was just, I was testing you. You know, CBCs, NHL, CFCs. All those letters are all bad. So, well, why don't you join me, at the Environmental Justice League, she perked up. Well, no, it's definitely not a club I just invented to impress you. It's a real thing that I've been planning for weeks. And it just so happens that our very first meeting of the EJL is this lunchtime in the hallway in the basement. The music was all brightly colored, neon pink and spiky hair. Dancing looked like jogging on the spot, and well, it wasn't very subversive. Maybe just enough to upset the parents a little, but, you know, not enough to cause all-out marches in the streets. And you looked at it. You didn't listen to it. There was a 10-minute movie for each one, and they played them over and over and over again all day and all night. an easy, tranquil dream, sleepwalking us into the closet where we'd stumble onto our uncle's old records, buried secrets of long hair, with leftover crumbs in the gatefold. We'd put them on the turntable and we'd start to figure things out. I waited anxiously by the downstairs fountains after lunch, the cooped-up kids barreling past, making a break for the light outside, and me stuck in anticipation. Oh, come on, Karina, come on, where are you? And then a big metal bar press clunk at the big heavy blue door, and then a gust of wind. Is it? Oh, yes, it is. And there she is, sweet, sweet Karina, with a notebook and a dream. Where's everyone else? Well, I guess we're just the only two kids in the school with any integrity at all. We'll just have to spend twice as much time together. The first meeting of the environmental, whatever I said it was called earlier, league, is called to order. She planned. She talked. I watched. I swooned. I just nodded my head and said yes. What to? I have no idea. She could have been saying nuke the whales, for all I knew. She opened up her big scratch-and-sniff sticker-covered notebook and slid out a single piece of paper. This is it, she says. Our manifesto. A list of actions that every conscious-minded citizen must take every day to improve our environment. The EJL Manifesto. I kept nodding. We are going to hand-deliver these all around the neighborhood and do our part to save the world. Oh, don't you worry, Karina. I will personally make sure that every last house in this whole city gets this unsolicited junk mail. We hit the office copier, the repressed secretary there with the framed Michael Douglas picture on her desk. She looked at us with, oh, isn't that cute eyes, and she let us at the paper machine. We whizzed out a bunch of copies. You better give me a whole stack, Karina. I'm truly committed to this cause. I skipped all the way home that day. Love. Love, it must be love. Me. She trusted me with the most important thing to her. And you know what? I'll show her that it's true. I'll race back into school every day with a big smile and an empty bag. Now, I'm going to need another stack, Karina. And another stack. And then another stack. I was a Greenpeace hero on my way to the Nobel Prize. And the award for handsome dedication goes to love. Sweet love. I had it in the bag, too. By Earth Day next week, she'll be head over heels for me. I mean, that dedication, it's undeniable, right? And when that second-rate folk cover band plays Where Have All the Flowers Gone, she'll melt like globally warmed butter. And I'll make my move. The next day, I get another stack. And another. Reams and reams of paper. Another. Even Karina had only done a few blocks, but me, no, not me. You know, I had gone through hundreds and hundreds, ramping up to it like a carefully orchestrated campaign. A big push right at the finish line with a giant 2-foot stack. I woke up early that morning, chose my army greenest shirt for a revolutionary look, carefully messed up my hair just so, and then I strolled down the street to the concert in the Saturday park. Walking on hummingbird feet past the information booths and the granola samples, up to the tree where we'd planned to meet. And then Karina arrived just in time. Right when the band started to play, I handed her a dandelion I'd picked. Our eyes met, and nervously away, and then back again, and our fingers slowly, cautiously towards the harmonies drifting from the stage, my feet lifting off the ground. And there, just as fate decided, we held young hands. It just goes to show, love will find you. It's natural. All you need is an open heart, a dedication to the cause, and a good spot behind the dumpster to hide 2,000 copies of the manifesto.
Young in love with the world on a string, hold my hand as the folk singers sing. In the park, playing catch with the sun, shooting jacks with the stars, when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter @ParlorSongbook And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. And we're back here at the Tudor House Theater on American Parlor Songbook, our episode about the planet Earth. Now, we're going to hand over the radio waves to a sketch comedy group out of Los Angeles, California. Ladies and gentlemen, Robot Teammate.
Evolutionary.com. Boom, boom. Evolutionary.com, the only dating site that uses personal genome sequencing to match you with your ideal mate.
When I saw Susan's interest included genetically modifying her offspring, I just knew we'd hit it off.
I used to feel so lonely until I met my genetic equal.
Evolutionary.com.
If you're here, you're turning into Sports Nation. We're coming up to the main event in just a few minutes. Very exciting. Some are calling it the fight of the century.
I would call it the fight of all time.
Okay, whatever you want to call it. Few can deny this is the ultimate matchup of nature versus nurture.
Yes, Mother Nurture in the red corner is looking calm, focused, and determined to prove herself. Cornering for nurture is her entire extended family, neighborhood friends, and mentors from elementary school through college. She talked to us earlier about her preparation. Here's what she had to say.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good about it, and my training has really been excellent this time around. I mean, I'm feeling unstoppable. It's just about mind over matter, you know? You just gotta train hard, focus up, do your drills, and tough it out through those weak spots.
Mother Nurture seeming pretty confident.
Oh, but she is in for some tough rounds by the looks of Mother Nature in the blue corner. Nature's looking fierce, angry, and out for blood. Cornering for Nature is her genetics, family history, and a large oak tree. Here's what she said when we were asked how she feels about this historic bout.
How am I feeling? I'm feeling hungry. Hungry for blood, and I got the scent of my prey over there in that red corner. And when that bell rings, there's no stopping me. Yeah, she talks a pretty game about her training. But in the ring, your training's out the window, and it all comes down to instinct. Her! You think you can handle this? You got nothing! Come at me, Nurture!
Oh my, there you have it. A match that is sure to go down in the history books.
Stay tuned, this is a spectacle you won't want to miss.
And I'm Hugo Puff Puff Pass, and on today's show we have a cultural anthropologist, Searchy DeWorld, recipient of the 2015 Half-Bright Fellowship, to share some of her personal findings of the presidential candidate's slot in their natural environment in the wild. Welcome back to the program, Ms. DeWorld.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So you have noticed a particular pattern evolving over the past few months.
Oh, yeah. The presidential candidate is a fascinating creature. Overall, these mammals, they exude a lot of bravado. It's like puffed up chests and gleaming squirrel-like tufts of hair. It's the type of breeding that we typically only see in the mating season. Their plumage is primarily indigo, crimson, and alabaster. I've seen a lot of white, actually. And some orange. I think it's spray tan.
Interesting.
There's an almost primate brutality to their communication skills.
Excuse me. Actually,
speaking
we
over each
that's
other
just about the end of a
one interjecting.
Yeah,
exactly
up,
like you're doing.
I'm so sorry, but that's all the time we have in our program. It's been fascinating, Mr. World. Thank you so much for joining us.
And now, students from Rim of the World High School reading essays on nature.
Growing up, I always loved being inside. I loved my bed and my room and the hallways and the walls. I felt safe inside. I could relax in the protected familiar. From the window of the den, I would watch kids throw frisbees and walk dogs and play with squirt guns, and I would feel so guilty that none of it looked like fun. When I was 9, we moved to the suburbs, to a house near some woods. A family from down the block heard about us. They came over to introduce themselves and their daughter, Jenny, who was going into 5th grade like me. Jenny didn't know about how I liked being inside. She just said she had something to show me and walked me to the end of the street. I didn't like being outside. Then she took me down a dirt path, and the trees kept getting thicker, and it was scary. And then we reached the biggest tree. It was a little bit hollow, with branches. She had leaned up against it, so it created a shelter. She smiled, and I could tell she was proud. This is my secret room. And even though we were outside, we went inside the room. And we were inside a tree, and we were safe, and I could relax. And it was actually really nice.
Welcome back to the Herb Garden, the seventh best coffee house on the radio. Yeah. Our next act is very special. These two poets have come back from a retreat in the forest where they spent the last 4 months together, alone, just in the wild. Here they are.
Yeah, we are Chet Morgenthau.
And Vic Tenderfoot, and this is our
nature tale. Yeah.
Green surroundings, blue waters, clear skies, rustling leaves are our radio in the nighttime of the forest. Animals are our friends. We are one with them. Nature surrounds us. We are one with it as it is with us.
Nature was my bathroom. Everywhere I looked, I knew what could go. Tree, bathroom, stump, bathroom, river, bathroom. It was all my bathroom for all of time.
Sure. The lush branches swayed with my mind as centipede thoughts tickled my brain with their pure delights. Animals smiled at me. They knew me, my face.
The bush a bathroom, the sky a bathroom, the water well. Of course, that was a bathroom.
Yes. Yes, but nature isn't just a bathroom. It's a mind escape. From the soul within us all, where pureness is constant and time is forever.
I peed on a raccoon by accident once.
Nature.
Robot teammate. Well, we've got just enough time for one more song from Mishkin.
My friend, is it near the end? All right, of the night that is held is apart and suspended. I'll fly, pensive and sad, and my friend, is it nearly spent? Is it near? Is it near the end? My friend, how we've burned up our treasures, burning down the house so bright. Both of us, I am sure, nice, we could never pronounce, but it's all right. Shaking, sigh, singing, and I'll not complain. What a ride. Been caution, don't ride the holy train, and there's nowhere safe anyway, my friend. Hey, early riser, what you want with this dreamer, my dreamer. 42 California. Hey babe, your eyes are water eye can get clean and wash off the first and 42 till I found you. My friend, I will not pretend. It's all right. All my storms and my bliss you will taste in my kiss and find in my eyes. Pensive and sad, pen my old refrain. Now the sky's broken open, yeah. Soak me like rain till I'm new and I'm whole and I'm sane, my friend. Hey, early riser, what you want, what you want, what you want with this dreamer? My dream is treasure. 42 California. Hey, babe, your eyes are water, water, water. I can get clean and wash off the first. 42, 42, 42 till I found you, my friend.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for joining us here at the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California. And for listening at home, APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX. You can find
Wendell.
Information about the program
Wendell.
By visiting our website.
Wendell, Wendell, Wendell.
Yes, Martha, what is it?
Why do I taste sawdust?
Lemur pellets.
What is a lemur?
Lemur catta of the Strepsirum family.
Will you speak English? I'm not a zoologist.
A primate.
Yes, I am. Thank you. But what is a lemur?
The ring-tailed monkey.
And they make pellets?
No, they eat them.
Well, why do I taste them?
Because you can't resist.
I ate them?
With a knife and fork.
Where?
At the fundraiser this evening.
For the zoo?
We've solved it. Now, can I please get some sleep?
If I know me, and I do, there's a whole incredible story to go along with that, so spill it.
Where shall I begin, Martha?
At the beginning, Wendell.
All right, it was 60 years ago. I met you, and my life has been chaos ever since.
Not that far back, you twit. Oh,
just the last chapter, then.
That'll do.
All right, what was the last thing you do remember, then?
Golden Globes, 1979.
I'll fill you in. Alcohol, career suicide, car crashes, and nudity.
So, business as usual.
There was nothing usual about it.
All right, just start with today.
Well, my first mistake was taking the old MG out of the garage.
What? That thing still runs?
Every Sunday morning while you sleep.
Where do you go on Sunday mornings?
I take it up the coast to Malibu for lunch. You see, every Saturday you overdo it and then sleep through Sunday.
I didn't overdo anything.
No, so beginning the day by flashing that police officer on the highway, that was underdone?
I was subtle about it.
You shouted, "Hey, Paunch, look at these infractions."
That's hilarious.
Oh, $100 hilarious.
For what?
Driving with a loose load.
I'm no load. I am a lady.
You are an animal.
Thank you.
All right. Three sheets to the wind, you out there singing show tunes all the way from here to San Diego.
Yeah, people pay good money to hear me sing.
Where?
Broadway.
Oh, you must be referring to Jaws the musical.
All right. Where were we now? I don't remember.
Well, I was trying to steer the car, and
yes.
You were sitting out front on the hood.
I was ghost riding the whip.
Ghosting the what?
The whip. You just dance around the car.
While it's driving.
Well, yes, of course. Otherwise, it would just be riding the whip, I think.
Well, you rode it all right, straight into a ditch.
Oh, that would explain the road rash.
With all the party looking on to, the whole gala watching you ride straight into that ditch.
I was trying to make a big entrance. You pull up, me on the hood, big spender on the hi-fi, arms up, big note.
Indecency conviction.
For singing.
Your dress was accidentally tucked into your knickers.
That was no accident.
And leopard print, too.
Print? That was genuine leopard skin.
For a room full of zoologists.
And an ivory necklace.
Well, that would explain the weeping baby elephant.
Wait a second. Elephant, elephant. Was I on one?
Hang on, that's coming. You stumbled into the garden, knocking over philanthropists left and right, and made straight for the bar.
Wait, it is not a party without a few cocktails, Wendell.
A few?
All right, 10.
You said you wanted a Cassius Clay to the bartender, and he said, "What's that?" And you punched him in the face.
It is a well-established fact that I float like a butterfly and I sting like a bee.
Well, you floated like a battleship onto that stage there.
Well, where else would the greatest living performer go?
An asylum?
You're just jealous because I stole your thunder.
Well, we were invited so I could perform my original composition.
Oh, please. They just let you sing that stupid polar bear song because you donated a wing.
And you took one from that poor ostrich.
That tramp was trying to steal my number.
You shouldn't have swung the microphone around in front of his cage then.
It is not a big finish unless you swing the mic.
Big finish, sure. You weren't nearly done yet. After your big song, you announced that you were going to take donations for the Vivacious Minx Foundation. Then you proceeded around the garden, plucking earrings and necklaces from old ladies.
Yes, because I don't work for free.
No, it was for the animals, Martha.
What? What would a monkey do with money?
No, enclosures, maintenance, medicine.
I don't think monkeys are qualified to do any of those things. Oh.
Well, when we find them, we can ask them.
Wait. I'm seeing something. Riding an elephant, cheering, monkeys on all sides.
Yes, off went your gown.
Excellent.
Up onto the bar, then you pointed at the mare, banged on your chest, and shouted, "Me Tarzan, you lame."
Hilarious.
Oh, and then you dove on him.
Like classy Freddy Blassie.
Oh, sure, classy. Not a stitch of clothing, upside down, clinging to the mare, him running around like a pinball, you taking out fountains, decking old ladies, and then stumbling backwards over the wall into the elephant park.
Go big or go home.
Yes, but preferably not on an elephant. And I don't know how, but you managed to mount that beast.
I learned that trick on the set of Broadway Circus 47.
Well, you were a little rusty. Up there backwards, barreling through the fences, across the monkey pen, being attacked from all sides.
The crowd was cheering me on.
They were booing you out, through the kangaroos, out the other side, freeing the entire chimpanzee population.
You just leave a trail of bananas.
I think they were headed for Mexico.
Smart apes.
Expensive apes.
And they're probably just blowing off a little steam in Tijuana. Oh,
do you realize that life is not a Looney Tunes cartoon, Martha?
You did see me riding an elephant naked through a high society ball tonight, correct?
No, touche. But couldn't you try being a little more Tweety Bird and a little less Daffy Duck?
I'm the Road Runner. Everyone else is the Coyote.
Speaking of Road Runners, one is missing from the zoo.
He's accounted for.
Wait, what do you mean?
Solidarity. I busted him out.
To where?
The coach house.
Our coach house.
Well, I wasn't going to make him sleep on the couch.
This is a wild animal, and it's loose in our coach house right now.
He's probably passed out from all the Valium.
Well, I'm not even going to ask, Martha.
I just gave him a few to take the edge off.
You do understand that the event was for the protection and the care of the animals.
First of all, where do you think a monkey is happier? Cooped up in some zoo or eating a pineapple on the beach in Mexico? Second of all, I raised more money than anyone else at that snooze fest.
You must have cost thousands in property damage alone, Martha.
Yes, all captured in beautiful streaming color by Randall's phone.
Oh, no. What did your slimy sidekick friend put you up to this time?
Nothing. I paid him $50 to catch the whole thing.
Fail to see how this helps the animals.
Oh, get with it, Wendell. It's all about clicks these days.
What are you going on about, Martha?
You can have a boring party and shake a few rich losers for a couple of thousand, or you can generate a buzz and bring in the real money.
I'm lost.
By tomorrow afternoon, that video will be on every phone and every computer screen in the country.
It's not about you, Martha.
But listen, you nitwit. TMZ gave me $50,000 up front and 70% on the back end.
For a video.
Now you're getting it.
Of you riding an elephant naked through a high society party. I guess I do see the humor in it.
Yes, you and every other human being with a funny bone. And after all those clicks come in, we are going to build those monkeys a nice big new home and the elephants.
You mean to tell me that you conspired to get drunk, destroy that party, take off your clothes, and ride an elephant through a fence, all for some harebrained fundraising scheme?
And a little free press.
And it's all going to go back to the zoo?
At least $500,000.
Oh, well, I hate to admit it, Martha, but
I think you've done it again. I didn't even know you liked animals so much.
Ever since I got my big break when that horse bucked Elizabeth Taylor out of Blue Velvet, too.
Oh, gave her a big break, too, I suppose.
Well, now you owe me one.
I do?
You know, that was hard work.
Well, I suppose it was.
Well, cough it up.
Cough what up?
Oh, you know, just like every other night.
Oh, you must mean your song.
You know me too well.
Actually, you're full of surprises.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinhole skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night.
Good night.